Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
The story we're going to look at here today in Acts chapter 8 is it's a story of how God fulfilled his plan and purposes through a guy by the name of Philip, who was willing to follow God's leading. And we're going to look at a few examples of things that we need to be thinking about that can help us be better led by God. If you're just joining us today, we've been in a series going through the book of Acts, which is an amazing book of the birth of the early church and its growth and development. The church has been under a lot of persecution. The church has moved out of Jerusalem and is now in Samaria, where they've been kind of in the midst of revival. People have been coming to know Jesus. People have been baptized. There's been signs and wonders. Last Sunday, we looked at a guy by the name of Simon the Sorcerer, and he was a very interesting character. One of the things we discovered about Simon the Sorcerer is that he was more interested in the power of God than he was in actually having a relationship with God. And it's just a lesson that we need to be mindful of, is that sometimes we want all the stuff that God gives and provides and his power, but we're not always ready to really dig into having that intimate relationship with him. And so we found last Sunday that Simon was being actually called to repentance. And we talked about repentance last Sunday and how important that is. But anyway, so today the story continues in the same chapter, Acts chapter 8. And we're going to pick it up at verse 26. And we'll just invite the guys to follow along with the text will be on the screen today. I should let you know, too, if you don't have a Bible, there are a few Bibles scattered around in the seats nearby you. And you could look it up there as well in Acts chapter 8 or on your iPhone or wherever. Picking it up at verse 26. And now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. Let me just pause for a second. I'm not going to go into too much detail on this Ethiopian or the eunuch as he was described, but basically this guy was part of likely a very large delegation that was traveling along. It looks like that he was actually by himself, but in reality, because of the fact that he was in charge of the treasury, he wouldn't have been going through the desert by himself. He would have likely been with a group of people. The Bible describes him as a eunuch. That was a very common. A eunuch was something that was very common amongst ancient civilizations. And basically, what had happened was that these guys were castrated, and do I say that in church? But in reality, it was a common practice, especially if people were involved in a royal or a setting where there was a lot of temptation and potential to mess around with the king's harem or whatever. And so just to keep these guys under check and under control, they would do this little procedure and so on. But even more so, I think he's described as an important official. I think sometimes we get hung up on the fact that he was a eunuch when actually he was actually a person of great influence. And maybe we can see this guy from a little different light and how that he was a man that was in charge and had great responsibility and was likely surrounded by a significant number of people. So that's all I'm going to say about that. You can check it out a bit more if you want to study it yourself. Anyway, this man, this Ethiopian, this important official, had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Just kind of picture this in your mind. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. This was the scripture that the Ethiopian was reading. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him about the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he ordered the chariot to stop, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. And we'll read verse 40. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Now, there's a few things we could talk about today on this, but I just wanted to just, for a few minutes, look at some of the things that some observations from this simple story about how God leads and what we need to be doing as God's people when it comes to his leading. Some things that we should be considering and being mindful of. Number one, the first thing when it comes to God leading us, I need to pay attention. How many would say that's a good idea? When God leads us, when God speaks to us, when he has something to say, when he's pointing us in a direction, we need to pay attention. And verse 26 of the passage we read starts out by saying, "And an angel spoke." Now, if all of a sudden I had an angel in front of me started speaking, it probably would get my attention. Just like, you know, in the Old Testament, Moses, you know, God spoke out of a burning bush. There's sometimes God uses significant things out of the ordinary to get our attention. In this case, an angel spoke. The angel said, "Go south to the desert road." Verse 29, we see God using another way where he spoke. It says, "And the Spirit spoke." So they're out in the desert, and the Spirit spoke and said, "Go to that chariot." The reality is that God is speaking to us all the time. And it's pretty interesting, as you read the Bible, that there's all kinds of different ways that God speaks to us. And I think it's really important to understand that God doesn't just use one way or one thing or one method. Ultimately, the primary way that God speaks to us is through Scripture. And every day when I'm in reading Scripture, I find God just whispering, speaking little words of encouragement. I read something. It's a living word, folks. It's a word. When I read the newspaper, if it's yesterday's paper, I've shared this before, if it's yesterday's paper, I really don't want to read it. I want today's paper. Well, the Bible is the living word of God. And Pastor John is probably going to talk a little bit about this tonight, how preaching the word is important. But the Scripture is hugely important. God speaks to us. He corrects us. Instructs us through his word. God uses dreams and visions to lead us. God often will give people pictures. He will show them a picture, and God will help them to. They will see something. It's almost like these folks that had the vision, the dream, the picture of a garden. God begins to form little pictures and promptings and so on. Whispers, promptings of the Holy Spirit. Prophetic words, encouraging words. Prophetic words are basically words of encouragement. God used an individual just this week, and it was pretty cool. I was just experiencing some questions and some doubts and so on. And just out of the blue, God brought someone into my life, and they gave me an encouraging word. I said that was like almost like a prophetic word, because those are words that Scripture says are used to encourage. And this particular word was given to me, and I received it, and I knew it was, because of the timing of it, it was God just confirming something in my own heart, and I thanked them for it, and that God actually brought someone along to bring me that word and actually help to determine some direction in my life. Now, I want to just say, we should never just follow one thing, or just because someone says, I think you should do this. I think we need to confirm it. We need to weigh on it. We need to wait on God on some of those things. But in this case, it was something that was almost a confirmation of something that I had already heard. The Bible also talks about through the witness of others. Proverbs says, let everything be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so we see God using all kinds of different things to get our attention, and we need to pay attention to it. Even circumstances. There are times when circumstances start to line up in certain ways, and God, he's leading us through various circumstances that come into our life, and we need to pay attention. The important thing is this, and I want you to catch this, is that we need to be listening and be paying attention to God's voice. Even in the Old Testament, you know, sometimes God had to speak to someone, you know, through the mouth of a donkey, you know, like, God will use whatever he has to in order to get us to catch our attention and cause us to follow his leading. In the Old Testament, again, as the children of Israel, they went through the wilderness, and the Bible says that they were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Again, just different ways. And Philip here, this man of God, this deacon in the church, he was one of the first deacon leaders in the church. He had learned to recognize God's voice. He had learned to recognize God's leading. The angel came, he responded. The Spirit spoke, he responded. And it's just something that we can draw from that could help us help you as you follow the leading of God in your life. God wants to lead us. He wants to lead you. He has a destiny for you. He has things. He wants to take you places. He wants to take you, that song that Daniela led earlier, I had never heard that song before about thriving. And one of the lines is, he hasn't created us just for the ordinary. How many believe that today? It's not just about the ordinary. God has something more for us, and he wants to lead us into it. And so, first of all, I need to pay attention. Everyone say that with me. I need to pay attention. Secondly, when it comes to the leading of God, I need to trust God. Secondly, I need to trust him. I don't know if this relates to you, but sometimes God leads us in ways that we don't understand. Can anyone relate to that? God, he causes us to, he puts us at a crossroads, and we find ourselves beginning to move in a direction, and we wonder, why in the world are we here? Why are we doing this? Why are we going in this direction? For Philip, this is a great example. They had, as I said earlier, they had been in the midst of revival in Samaria. Things were going great. People were getting saved. People were getting baptized. There were signs and wonders and miracles, and the crowds were swelling. Everything was just going amazing. Ministry was successful. God was using Philip powerfully. And then in the midst of that context, God says, go to the desert. Go south. Go to the desert. Now, if God was calling you to Phoenix, you might say, yes, pick me, Lord. But you know what? There was a time when the desert was the desert, and it, in many places out there, it still is. The desert was the land of nowhere. And it's interesting, as Philip is perhaps having to consider why God is calling him, it's like, why, God, would you take me? Why, God, would you take me from the place of great ministry success down to the desert? Why would you lead me there? It doesn't make sense. There are times when it's hard to trust. It's hard to trust why, God, you would take me into this situation. It's hard to trust when we are going into the unknown. It's hard to trust when we are going into unfamiliar territory, when we are having to step out. But I want to encourage you, as God leads you, as God is leading us, let's learn to trust God in those times. God, the reality is God seldom reveals the whole picture all at once. How many know what I'm saying? You know, don't you wish God would just kind of lay out the rest of your life and say, this is what's going to happen? Most of us would probably bail out. If we knew what was happening, it would be almost harder to handle it. But sometimes God only gives us the next little step. Sometimes God only shows us just a little bit of the of where he's taking us. The scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we find ourselves, and God is not taking us anywhere. Sometimes God says, I want you to stop here for a while. You might be right now in the desert. You might be in a difficult place in your life, a difficult circumstance. Sometimes God might say, I want you to stop there. I want you to wait there. The children of Israel were not always on the move. There were times when God says, you just stop. You just wait. You sit here. There are times when God says, be still. Have we heard that before? Be still and know that I'm God. But it's in these times of trusting God that we need to believe that in those times, we need to trust God that he will continue to communicate with us. He's going to speak to us, whether it's through the Spirit or whether it's through his word or whether it's through an encouraging word or whether it's through a whisper or whether it's through a shout or whether through it's a sign or through a wonder of some kind. God is going to speak. We need to trust God, even in those times when it feels it just seems unknown and unfamiliar. Trust him that he will communicate with you. If God has put you in a place of where you've had to just stop and sit, in those times, my encouragement to you is be content. Be faithful. There's something about faithfulness to God. Something about being faithful in the hard place. Something that I'm having to learn over and over again. Because it's so easy to just abandon ship when things get a little bit tricky or hard or when the struggle sets in. Be diligent. Be available, even in those places where it just seems it's hard, the desert, wherever. Remain positive. Be prayerful. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you in this season. I'm going to trust that you have not gone silent. I just may not be paying attention as well as I should. Another thing we need to do is to trust God that he's preparing you for something next. Is it possible that in that time of silence, in that time of the desert, or maybe even in the midst of revival, you know, I believe with all my heart that God was preparing Philip for what was next. Philip had seen the hand of God. Philip saw the work of God in his life. And now he's taking him to the desert. God is preparing Philip for what's next to come. There are going to be more cities to take. But in between, there's going to be a desert. There's going to be a desert encounter. Another thing that I love when I was thinking about this week is that we need to trust that God is already at work where we are going. Isn't that cool to think about that? That God is, you know, you're going somewhere. You don't know what's out there. You don't know what's at the end of the road. But God is already at work where you're going. And we see this example while God was leading Philip. It's pretty cool. Here's Philip out in the city in Samaria. He goes to the desert, but who does God have waiting for him? God has this Ethiopian eunuch, this important official from the queen of Candace. And in the midst of all of this, God is preparing this person to receive Philip. God, this, you know, I was originally going to, the original title to this sermon was The Divine Setup. That was what I was going to call it, because I thought it really was. It was a divine setup. Have you ever been in one of those experiences where you just know that God brought the people together? Have you ever been set up by God? Ever been set up by the work of the Spirit, bringing situations and circumstances and people together? God, I think God just gets a real kick out of that. I'm going to work over here on this Ethiopian dude, this guy from Africa. I'm going to bring Philip down here. I'm going to work on him. I'm going to bring the two together, and they're going to have this beautiful encounter. And this whole time, this Ethiopian eunuch, we find he had gone to Jerusalem. He was exposing himself to worship, and he had heard about God, and he wanted to know more. And probably while he was in Jerusalem, he went to one of the vendors, and he bought himself a scroll. You know, he didn't just buy a little new text. He didn't download it onto his iPad, but he got himself a scroll, and just so happens he's got the book of Isaiah, the scroll, and he's rolling it all out, and he just lands here in the middle. Can you just picture it? He's going down, and he's in his chariot, and he's just kind of unraveling the scroll, and he lands here in this book of Isaiah, the scripture. And God, the whole time, is preparing his heart. Jesus said that they that hunger and thirst will be filled. He also said, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. God is always looking for that person who's got a heart that's seeking for him. And now we find God bringing these two together. And God, through their circumstances, brings them together. And the Spirit says to Philip, so here's the Ethiopian in his chariot, and God takes Philip down, and he sees the chariot. He sees this entourage of people. And God said, the Spirit says, go to that chariot and stay near it, which kind of leads us to this next point here. Philip's being led. He's heard the voice of God. He's out in the desert. The chariot's going by, and Spirit says, go, get close to the chariot. Get close to that chariot. And there they are. And then, thirdly, what we see here when it comes to God leading us is we need to make the most of every opportunity. It's really cool, folks, that when you are being led of God, how God puts these opportunities in your path. My wife has shared this many times at home and probably with some of you personally in her nursing. Often when she goes out to work in the community, she's praying, she's saying, God, I just help me today. I just make myself available. Bring me opportunities where I can be used of you to touch a person's life today. And you know what? When we pray those kind of prayers, we don't have to look very hard for the opportunities. Just like this young man that showed up yesterday, just kind of, it was in the midst of a work day. And the next thing you know, he's saying, I live in the neighborhood. And I'm kind of, what's going on here? Well, we could have told him, you know, that, yeah, this is what we're doing. But this was a great opportunity not to manipulate. He was the one who said, can I help? And so it just opened up an opportunity to be able to tell him a little bit more about our church and some of the things that we're wanting to do. And so what's really amazing is how God, when he's leading us, he puts opportunities in our path. And so here's Philip in the desert, walking alongside the chariot. He's just kind of going along right now, kind of blending in with the crowd. Not maybe sure why. He's just by the chariot. Maybe feeling a little bit intimidated, like I'm getting a little bit too close to this royal delegation. But then all of a sudden he's listening. His ears are open, which is, I think, another thing that we should be thinking about. Listen to what you are hearing around you. Listen. Listen to what people are saying. Listen to their questions. Listen to maybe what they're thinking. And in this case, he hears the Ethiopian reading from Isaiah. He's saying, I recognize that. He's got the scroll. He's reading the scroll. I can hear what he's saying. And then he takes a chance. And he asks a simple question. He says, do you understand what you're reading? What a great setup question. One of the things that we were thinking of as I was thinking about this is that opening up spiritual conversations can be very simple. Sometimes all it takes is just asking the right questions. Do you understand what you're saying? Maybe someone's going through a really tough time in their life, and maybe it's a simple question like, how do you feel about what you're going through? And maybe that just might kind of lead to another conversation. It might lead to, you know what, I remember a time in my life when I was going through a really hard time. And someone began to talk to me about their faith. One of Barb's favorite questions is, I'm giving your secrets away, Barb, but one of her favorite questions is, do you have any kind of faith? And that's not a, you know, they might start telling them about, yeah, well, I do this or I do that, or, you know, I used to go to Sunday school, or I kind of do my my crystals or whatever, you know. And oftentimes, just those simple questions actually lead into a more in-depth spiritual conversation. I think a lot of times we're afraid to take the opportunity. Anyway, so Philip asked this simple question, do you understand what you're reading? Verse 31, he said, the eunuch said, the Ethiopian said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And so right there, what did he do? He invited, he said, come on up into my chariot, he said. Get up here. I'll move over. And the next thing you know, they continue down the desert road. He asked the question, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Philip says, funny you should ask. Philip says, and so he began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Isn't that a cool story? Another little principle that we can apply to reaching people, evangelism, spiritual conversations, is begin with where people are at. You know what? When God is at work in a person's life, it's because, and oftentimes it's because he's already been preparing them. And he's just now bringing the two together. He's just bringing you and them together. And so the implication as the story goes on is that Philip leads the Ethiopian to receive Jesus. And in that whole conversation, he's talking about Jesus, the good news of Jesus, how Jesus can change his life. Talked about the resurrection, I'm sure. You can't help but believe that he didn't talk about the resurrection. And then somewhere along the line, he starts to talk to him about baptism. And says, you know, one of the things that people do when they become a follower of Jesus Christ, after they repent and open their hearts to Christ and give their lives to him, one of the next steps is to be baptized. And so in verse 37, it says they're going down the road, and the Ethiopian says, look, there's water, which is probably out in the desert, a little bit unusual, because it's a desert. Look, there's water, and you can just sense this excitement in his voice. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And Philip, it's actually not in this translation, but some of the manuscripts, later manuscripts, actually said, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe. And so the Ethiopian gave orders in verse 38 to stop the chariot. Whoa, put your brakes on. Whoa, baby. And then Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Again, here's a great picture, great story of an opportunity being taken. In this case, it was the Ethiopian who saw the water, and both Philip and the Ethiopian seized that opportunity to take the next step, and they went down into the water, and there he baptized him. You know what? There's no better time to be baptized than when you believe waters of the opportunities there, take it. You know, a lot of times, you know, in this case, Philip didn't say, oh, man, you just accepted Christ like 10 minutes ago. You need to go through the sign up for the next baptism class, which we tend to do, and it's nothing wrong with stuff like that. But a lot of times what happens is we don't take advantage of the opportunity. A lot of times the enemy will come in and start to cause doubt and fear, and you're not going to put it off, and you know we're afraid of what people might think, or we're afraid we're not quite good enough. You know what? Baptism, I've always said this, baptism is always intended for new believers, for people who are just starting out. Sometimes I think the church has complicated it. We made it so that baptism is for those who've got it all figured out, who've got their life in order, who's complete. The biggest thing God is looking for is a repentant heart and a heart that says, I want to follow you, Jesus. It was the first step. It was the first part of their spiritual journey. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost came to know Jesus and were baptized on the very first day. They didn't have time to get everything figured out. I want to encourage you this morning if you are here. And I, again, I encourage you. If you're a believer, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've had an encounter with Him and you've trusted Him with your life and you say, Jesus, I want to follow you with my life. I want to follow you with all of my heart. And you've never been baptized. It's a next step. It's an important next step that I want to encourage you to take. And I want to encourage you this morning to talk to us. And we'd love to help you take that next step. In this case, it was the Ethiopian said, look, there's water. Can I get baptized? And maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're the person that says, Pastor Dave, Pastor Joel, Pastor Johnny, maybe it's your small group leader, whoever it is. You know what? I've never been baptized. I think I should get baptized. And while you've got that thought in your mind, seize it. Seize the opportunity. God is speaking to you. And take the next step. Baptism is a sign. It's an outward sign of an inward experience. It's a public expression of your faith. You know, Christianity was never intended to just be this little private thing. God wants to push us out into that public declaration. It's a picture of death and burial. It's a picture of your past. It's a picture of you've turned your life away from sin, regrets. That song, "Oh, Come to the Altar," you know, leave your regrets behind. Baptism is a picture of leaving that behind. But it's also a picture of resurrection, a new life, coming up out of the water and the resurrection of Jesus. And we are buried with Christ, but raised to new life. We see this Ethiopian responding to the opportunity, allowing God to lead him, and was baptized. And I'm absolutely convinced that it was through this encounter with God and Philip that this became part of how the gospel then was carried to northern Africa, to Ethiopia. We don't have a lot of that story right here in this passage. But because of this, God, the gospel is spread into Africa. You know what? God wants to take you. He wants to lead you. He wants to use your life. He wants to take you from where you are into this new journey, into this next step. Some of you, baptism is the next step that I want to encourage you to take. And we want to provide the opportunity to help make that happen. Another thing that it's possible, I actually was thinking about this, that perhaps that night when nightfall fell and the delegation from this Ethiopian and his delegation maybe stopped beside the road and they put up their tents for the night, or maybe for a few days, who knows, we don't know. But it's quite possible that Philip led him in the breaking of bread and communion, because that was such a vital part of their faith, wasn't it? Now I'm just guessing, but can we just sort of imagine a little bit, is that okay? Chances are they stopped by the road that night, and the Ethiopian says, would you stay with us tonight? And along the way, he's probably saying, you know what, another way that we express our faith, you've been baptized, but another way we express our faith is we break bread together. And then he talked about the wine representing the blood of Jesus and the bread representing the broken body of Jesus. Can you just picture it? And chances are, on that night, they broke bread together. I'm going to invite the worship team just to come back. And I want to ask you a question before we move into communion. Are you paying attention to God's leading in your life? Are you allowing him to speak to you? Are you allowing him to lead you? Are you allowing him to whisper to you? Are you allowing him to direct you? I believe that there may be some here this morning, and maybe God has been opening up your heart for something. Maybe God has been whispering to you about, some of you maybe, you've never actually given your life over to Jesus Christ. Is it possible that God has been just kind of working on you, preparing your heart, and today could be your day where you actually say yes to Jesus Christ and say yes to saying, you know, I'm like this Ethiopian, I'm willing to give my life to Christ today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. The Bible says that now is the day of salvation. We may not have, and I don't want to scare anyone, but you may not have the opportunity tomorrow to give your life to Christ. Today is the day. God is speaking to you. Today is an opportunity. Today is a great day. There's nothing, no better day than today to give your life to Christ if you haven't. Most of the people in this room at some point in their life made the decision to say yes to Jesus and gave their life to him. But there may be one or two of you today you haven't. Today's a good day. He's leading. He's speaking. He's whispering. Maybe a friend has been connecting with you. We talked about trusting. You say, Pastor Dave, if I give my life to Christ, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to change my life. I don't know if I can do it. I'm afraid. I got lots of worries and fears, and I don't know what people are going to think about me. We said earlier we need to trust him. That's what faith is. Receiving Christ starts with, I'm going to trust God with my life. I want you to know that God can do more with your life than you can. Let me encourage you to trust Jesus with your life. It's not by chance or by accident that you're sitting here this morning. Yeah, maybe it is a divine setup. He set you up. But in that setup, he's saying, I love you, and I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus today and trust him with your life. And take the opportunity. And you can receive him right now where you're sitting. Right now. And as we have communion together, you can come and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Can we just thank him, everybody together? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for... Thank you that you accepted, you allowed yourself to be led to the cross. You didn't run away. You didn't say no, you said yes. And today on this Sunday morning, this April morning, we want to thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life on the cross. Your blood was shed for me. Your body was broken for me. Thank you, Lord. And so right now, would you just, if you need to receive Jesus today, just say, Jesus, I open my life to you. I open my heart to you. I invite you to come into my life today. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I turn my life over to you. I turn everything in my life over to you. And I'm going to trust you from this day forward. God puts us in a family so that we don't have to do this alone. God never intended us to do this by ourselves. Oh God, if that's you, I pray that you will say yes right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.